that you know no better, and you know no better, and you know no better, and you know no better than you do.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Hey everyone, it's Upasna, and this is Don't Butcher It, a podcast where I tell the truth about who I am and encourage you to do the same. Just so you know, this is my first episode. For this episode, it's just going to be me. I will be taking some input from friends throughout this entire series, regardless of whether or not I'm bringing someone onto the show. So today it'll just be me, but I hope to keep you entertained and amused, and I do hope that you walk away today feeling a little differently than you did before you listened to this. Yeah? In today's episode, I will be talking about the ultimate battle, and no, I am not talking about lip syncing for your life. I'm talking about the battle between wanting to love yourself, but then experiencing emotions that, well, contradict self-love. And the emotions I'll specifically be talking about are just the side effects of chasing after or liking someone who's emotionally unavailable. So yeah, that's my argument for today. Chasing after someone that is emotionally unavailable and knowing fully well that they are emotionally unavailable, or, you know, denying that they are even though the signs are clear, is actually just a symptom of a lack of self-love. I do want to make it clear, I don't want this episode to be a pointing fingers thing, and I'm not trying to make anyone feel ashamed of themselves or guilty or like they're a bad person or whatever. Everyone's on their own journey. Everyone's meant to learn their own lessons at their own pace, right? If this episode resonates with you, though, if there's something about this episode that even makes you a little angry, like you want to kind of throw a fist at me, maybe that means you should keep listening, because maybe that means that a part of what I'm saying is resonating with you for a reason, or it means that you just don't like me, which also, then why are you listening to this, huh? I guess I should start off this episode with defining self-love. It means loving yourself, obviously, but I think it's mostly about caring for your own well-being and your needs. It's loving yourself first before anyone else, because only that way can you actually ever truly love others. I think some of the ways in which we can express love for ourselves is by setting boundaries, taking care of ourselves physically, like, you know, making sure we're getting our nutrients, taking care of yourself mentally, and which, you know, mental health coping mechanisms are different for everyone's. And just overall, self-love is driven by your own ability to embrace who you are and then the actions that reflect that. Because a lot of people can say that they love themselves, but then they could also do things that like directly contradict that, right? For a very long time, I said I loved myself. I was very sure that I loved myself. And only now did I realize that I really didn't. I didn't understand what the term self-love meant. I thought it meant just like being confident, but I didn't realize that it meant also like being honest with yourself about who you are, all the shitty things too, and then accepting those things and, you know, knowing what you can change and what you can control and knowing what you can't and then being okay with that. Hurting others in order to sometimes take care of yourself, you know, like self-preservation. I'm not saying like fucking murdering someone, but I mean like, you know, disappointing people maybe. Those are some ways that I guess self-love is expressed, some ways that it looks other than just, you know, face masks and whatever the hell. So now that I've defined self-love, I want to talk about emotional unavailability. And I have had my fair share of emotionally unavailable people showing up in my life, mostly in the romantic side. Obviously, there's a reason I'm making this episode. Hello. In general, emotionally unavailable people are identified by their inability to connect with their own emotions, be vulnerable with others or themselves, And as a result, they fail to make commitments. We've all been emotionally unavailable at some point in some capacity, not even, you know, romantically. Maybe you felt like you didn't have the capacity to be friends with someone anymore. That's, you know, choosing to be purposefully emotionally unavailable for someone. Some folks make a decision to be detached, right? Also, some people have horrible romantic experiences and they're like, fuck this, I'm gonna be a cold, hard ass, stoic person from now on that feels nothing and only bangs. And then there's some people that struggle with mental illness and they really just don't have the capacity. They barely have the capacity for themselves. How can they have the capacity for other people? We're focusing on those people, either the people that have decided they can treat other people like shit because they were treated like shit, and then also people who hate themselves so much they refuse to be emotionally vulnerable. Those are the people I'm talking about. And, you know, even as I just said that, you know, people who don't like themselves, I said hate, but I'm going to rephrase that to people who don't like themselves enough so they can be honest with themselves or be vulnerable with other people. I mean, there can be a lot of reasons why people aren't vulnerable, but this is the one that I'm naming, one of the reasons. It's interesting how, like, we attract what we are. So if we don't love ourselves, we obviously will attract people who don't either. And as a result, can treat us like shit. Or we could be the person treating someone else like shit. Because trust me, I have been there. I have been that person. Maybe we all have, honestly. And we all will be inevitably at some point. What I really hope to come out of today's episode is an explanation as to why going after emotionally unavailable people is a symptom of lack of self-love, and what my experiences have been, and how I overcame, and in some ways I'm still overcoming, this conflict between the process of building self-love and the interruption of subconscious desires. We are trained to not seek love from ourselves, but to seek love from others in the form of validation. And external validation is not restricted to romance, but obviously that's the focus here. I think it's because when someone loves us, or even just likes us, it makes us go like, yes, I'm worthy. And it just like kicks up your hormones and you love them back. And if you've ever been through a really rough breakup, like when someone else has broken up with you and you weren't ready for the breakup, you'll know that when they do that, when the breakup comes, it's easy to feel like a piece of you is gone. And I don't think that's okay. And I don't think it should be okay. It's obviously okay to miss people and to be heartbroken, but the relationship ending shouldn't make us feel like suddenly incomplete. I believe that we define our own life and as a result, our own level of worthiness. No one else determines our worthiness. People may treat us in a way that is different than how we value ourselves, but at the end of the day, that's on them. That's not on us. It also feels like internalized misogyny is inescapable. I mean, I would like to think I'm wrong, but that's certainly what it feels like. This instilled idea of our self-worth being determined by how desirable we are, it's hard to not project that onto romantic pursuits. Because even when I'm with women, I still feel that need to be validated by them. It's not even just when I'm dating men. I'm curious how other bisexual women feel about that, because I know even with femme friends, I struggled a lot with that competition thing that a lot of women feel, this like need to compete with other women. And I managed to get through that. And now there's like this other thing I'm thinking about. So I'm curious about how other bisexual women feel. So I really want to get into why going after emotionally unavailable people is a symptom of lack of self-love. And I think the reason is because if we fully loved ourselves, like really, any relationship we have is simply a bonus. You know, it's like extra fries on the side that you get just in case you're peckish, but you don't really need it. I don't think it's biologically imperative to be in a romantic relationship. So that obsession you feel for someone, I can guarantee that like 90% of it is just your hormones. And like, I have felt connections where I swear it's like spiritual, it's like soulmate like. And hey, maybe I'm right. But the truth is, I don't know. And I can believe myself only so much. I can believe myself to a point until I start harming myself. And the stuff that I believe is actually keeping me in a negative pattern. Okay. So when I say I get the whole like, oh, it feels like we're soulmates, like, cool, but you have no proof. And at the end of the day, like, this person is really hurting you. So bye. You know, that's, I think that's the type of mindset that we should be having, but we're not. And putting yourself through emotional turmoil is self-harm. To me, it is. I think it's extremely self-destructive. And I have been very self-destructive as a result of this pattern I was in of chasing after emotionally unavailable people, this manifestation of this lack of self-love that I have. I did not believe that I was worthy of someone who would like me enough to actually respond to my text messages or plan dates with me, like even just give me the time of day on so many occasions. Just last year, I graduated from undergrad, okay? And I met this person. And this person and I hit it off right away. We had an amazing connection. And I felt like they really liked me. They worked at this pub near my school, and I would go visit them. I would hang out with this person and their friends. They were bringing me into their friend group. And all of a sudden, they started treating me like absolute shit, not responding to my text messages. This person even like had sex with one of my friends after I told them that would really hurt my feelings if that happened. Stuff like that. I ended up inviting this person to my birthday party a month after that. Like, I spent every day like trying to get their attention, trying to get them to talk to me. Every day is kind of an exaggeration, but okay, a significant amount of time that I didn't have to contribute, I was contributing. It was not okay. I was miserable. And the other thing is, this person drank a lot. And oftentimes the only way I'd get to even see them would be if I were to go out drinking. So my last 3 months of senior year, and maybe this was inevitable because it was my last 3 months of senior year, and I was in a culture where drinking an unhealthy amount of alcohol was normalized behavior, I began to drink a lot of alcohol. And by a lot of alcohol, I meant I was drunk almost every day for about 2 to 3 months. And I can't believe I'm admitting that on this podcast, but, and I don't think a lot of people know that. I was struggling my senior year. And obviously I don't want to put it all on this person, because guess what? That was on me after a point. When they started showing me signs of treating me badly, not valuing me, I should have walked away. And guess what I did? I stayed. And then after a point, this person was no longer hurting me. I was hurting myself. That's not okay. And I look back and I think about it. I don't think I could ever imagine myself doing something like that again. But hey, maybe I might. Maybe I might get caught up again. And I think that's another thing I really want to make clear to people is that, and I suspect that most of the people listening to this podcast are like mid-20s to late 30s. I mean, at least that's what I'd hope. If you're younger than that, this would still apply. Hell, if you're fucking 65, this might still apply to you. Sometimes we do this thing where we know the outcome and we know it's going to end badly and we still see the thing through anyway. Sometimes we've already learned a lesson and we like put ourselves through it again. And I think it's just human nature. I think that there are just some tendencies and habits that we have that is a result of this trauma that lives in our bodies and other things that have happened, other experiences and unhealed areas of ourself, maybe is a better way to put it. These unhealed areas of ourself can lead us to be stuck in these patterns. And it takes a long time to heal yourself, okay? I don't think you ever really stop healing. So sometimes that does mean, you know, having to relearn things. And I don't think that means you regressed if you recognize that you're relearning. So please don't beat yourself over the head if you're embarrassed about, you know, doing something similar to what I did, or if you're doing that right now, don't feel ashamed of yourself or like you're a fool, because you're not. You're a human being. And honestly, like, That's amazing that you have so much emotion and passion that you can like someone so much, even when they're not being good to you. I just want you to take that and turn it inward and give that to yourself. Because the thing is, if you start to believe that you deserve more, then you're not even going to look twice at someone who treats you like that. Like that, you're going to immediately get turned off. You're going to be like, bleh. That's me gagging. Just like, you're going to gag. You're going to be like, ew, they're gross. I hate them. You know? But that only comes if you fix it within. There are really some things, like you'll notice, like throughout my podcast, I'll start to talk about that whole, like, if you fix it within thing. Some things, if you fix inside of yourself, it will fix everything on the outside for you. I promise. I promise you that. I will take that statement to the grave. Actually, I don't think that's how that works. Point is, I mean that when I say that. And this is one of those things. If you love yourself, you'll and you decide what your worth is and you make that high, you make that value so high, you set that bar real high, and not from a place of arrogance, from a place of unconditional love, right? If you can unconditionally love your like family member or your best friend or your dog, you can do that for yourself. You have to. And when you do, you'll start attracting the right people in your life. And fair warning, it doesn't happen overnight. I'm sure you knew that one already though. The person I talk about dating with most is my best friend, Jimmy. And Jimmy and I have both been single for a pretty long time. I've been, you know, single from like a serious partnership for since like what, 2019? Yeah. And then Jimmy has been single for like what, 3 years now, 4 years? So I wasn't able to bring him onto the episode, although next episode I hope to have a guest. I did ask Jimmy a question. I asked him how his dating life has changed since he discovered the importance of self-love. And this is what he said.
Well, first of all, self-love is a journey and one that I'm still taking. And think that everyone should attempt to take a self-love journey before they enter a relationship, because self-love is really important before you share yourself with someone. But one thing for me that has changed in my dating habits since, you know, starting this journey is noticing the red flags better. And red flags are different for everyone, but I think they're really important to recognize early on in a relationship. Obviously, you don't want to get into a relationship and then notice something when you're too far into it. And for me, part of my self-love journey has been recognizing what I need from another person in a romantic relationship so that I can maintain, you know, a healthy emotional state. So once you understand your love language, it's easier to notice when someone doesn't fulfill that. For example, if quality time is your love language and you know that, and the person you're dating continues to cancel on you for dumb reasons or reschedule, then that to me is a red flag. And you can continue to evaluate that. If someone doesn't value my time, it makes me feel like they don't value me or they don't value my feelings. So then that becomes a red flag for me. And through this journey, you know, I've identified those non-negotiables for me and then can better identify when someone can't meet those needs.
The reason why I like what Jimmy said is because it also gives you an opportunity to communicate with the person in question. And in that communication, you'll also be putting your foot down and saying, hey, this thing you're doing is not okay to me. But I also want to make sure that it's that you know that and that maybe I can give you an opportunity to readjust. And in doing so, that person can like prove themselves. And if you say like, hey, it like really bothers me that you like don't text me back for a week and then like text me out of nowhere asking to hang out, like, and that person might say, oh, well, like, sorry, I'm just like really bad with communication. You can say, well, sorry, that's really important to me. And they can either say like, and depending on how they respond to it, you'll know, okay, this person is right for me. This person isn't right for me. How I think that ties back into emotionally unavailability is sometimes that people aren't emotionally unavailable up to our need for them. Everyone has different thresholds and needs. And I think sometimes it's not okay to just completely label someone emotionally unavailable, because maybe that person just Is it meeting your threshold? So now I get to the part where I talk about how you can suddenly just start loving yourself and get over that person that you just can't stop thinking about. JK, it's not overnight. And how I did it, I would compare it to ripping off a Band-Aid. That's what it felt like. This thing I always do when I like someone, even though they're still treating me like shit or they're not treating me in the way that I feel like I deserve to be treated. And even after I communicate that to them, or I feel like I don't even have the space to communicate that to them, like that type of situation, I always tell myself like, oh, maybe I'm missing something, or maybe this person does like me and they're just really shy. Like I just like make shit up to keep myself in the pattern. Basically, let me just get straight to the point. I did a lot of things for this person and to show them that I had feelings for them, and they just didn't respond to any of those things. And so finally I just called them out on it one day, and they said that they were completely aloof the entire time and they didn't notice. But long story short, they offered friendship and I said no. I said I wasn't ready for friendship. And the old me would have been like, yes, say yes to friendship and then you can continue being friends and having sex and maybe they'll fall in love with you. Guess what? They never do. They never do. And when they do, it's an outlier. It's an outlier. Because if they don't treat you the way that you deserve to be treated or you want to be treated from the very beginning, it's probably not a good match. Especially if you if you don't feel like you can communicate that to them without feeling like you're burdening them or without feeling bad about yourself. You should not feel bad about yourself for communicating your needs to someone. Never, ever, ever. I mean, what? Like, y'all are rubbing genitals together. The least you can do is like communicate your needs beyond that, right? And even if you're not rubbing genitals together, I mean, even if you're having dinner together once a week, you don't need to be like having sex in order to get respect from your partner. Hello. I don't know why I said that. I said it because I wanted to be funny. And you know what? Maybe that joke flopped, but I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to edit it out because I want this podcast to have character. Moving on. Ripping off that Band-Aid was just like, it was hard. And the next day I was like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? But then I realized, holy crap, I feel so good about myself. Like I respect myself. I respect myself so much. And I wasn't being dramatic at all. I wasn't. I decided to not be the chill girl. Because in reality, what I asked for wasn't that much. It really wasn't. I was asking to be seen. I was asking to be valued the way I deserve to be valued. That's it. And I was also communicating my romantic interest. And that's also okay, even if the person doesn't reciprocate it. And the fact that I could do that and still walk away like very like poised and walk away like with that person knowing exactly who the fuck I am, it just made me feel so much better. And will I ever be friends with this person? Maybe. But man, we got some mad chemistry. So I gotta walk away. The fact that I still say that is probably, we probably need to take a couple more months before that could even be on the docket. At the end of it all, I just really, really want to push. This is just one aspect of self-love. Just one. This is just one of the ways in which loving yourself can really affect your life. When you start to make it a priority, when you start to make it a mission. And that means even loving yourself when you're not loving yourself. Like even being okay with that and not getting frustrated with that, because that's okay. I just want everyone to be honest with themselves. What do you actually want? Why do you ask for less than you deserve? And what happens if you stop doing that? Let me know. Write it down. Tell a friend about it. Think about it. Dream about it. You deserve exactly what you want, unless you're like a really demanding person who thinks they're entitled to everything. Like, then why are you listening to my podcast? We definitely wouldn't be friends. All right. I mean, that's all I got for y'all today. I hope you found it helpful. When you have the opportunity to communicate, let the other person know exactly who you are. what your expectations are, what your needs are from the very beginning. And hey, if you're worried about chasing people away from doing that, then don't. Because if you do chase people away, you're chasing the right people away. Think of it as a filter. Think of it as like you're filtering the wrong people out of your life immediately, instead of having to deal with all those like bullshit, like breakups and whatever the hell. Like, you get to just, you know, that's one way of just avoiding it. One extra little filter for yourself to make communicating with other, to make living on this earth with other human beings a little more tolerable. Because I know sometimes it gets a little hard. Well, we're all out of time. I can't make this long. Thank you for listening to Don't Butcher It. And I hope you click on to the next episode. Hear what that's about. Bye.